Welcome to DL Gaming. I'm Bobby.
And I'm already saucy because I've had two large drinks, and I'm working on my third one, so we better get going before the racism starts flying around the room, dude.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Fucking cracker. That's, like, so not offensive at all. I feel cracker? Sounding.
No, well, I don't know. I mean, that's not really, because that implies, like, a redneck. So
I think that's just white person. I've always understood it.
Yeah, I suppose so. Like in the 70s. It's like a 70s word, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. It's like a jive turkey.
Cracker ass, cracker.
So it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little out of vogue. Anyway, man, I got to play some video games this week. It was pretty cool.
Good.
Got to say, it was pretty nice.
Hey, how about me and you? We talk about that. What do you think?
Well, here's the weird thing. Like, I had a busy week, but it wasn't with work, and I don't know exactly what it was. I think it was schoolwork.
Is this going to be, like, an ongoing thing, dude? Like easygoing work schedule?
I think so until... I mean, I don't want to get into the details and bore people with that.
No, right.
But the way that my work is doing it is classes are 9 weeks on, then they switch to three other periods for another 9 weeks, and they switch back to the first three periods and then back to the other three periods.
Yeah, I didn't need to know any of that.
So all that means is that I basically have more work. I teach my class half the year, 9 weeks on, 9 weeks off.
What do you do the other weeks?
Just help everyone with their computer problems.
Which is what you're on right now,
mm-hmm.
Which is much easier than teaching a class.
Time consuming. Well, I mean, I have to help people with computer problems and teach the class when the class is in session.
So your fucking plate is full during that time.
Yeah. And of course, it was a pretty rough start this year, but it's really calmed down, and I'm going into work maybe about 3 days a week, and it might go down to like two or one because it's getting a little slower. I mean, slower, like things I have to do at work. I'm just answering emails constantly all day, but I can do that from home.
You know, I called tech support today. And he sounded like the guy in Office Space after he got hypnotized. You know what I mean?
Oh,
he's just like so easygoing, kind of like each one. He's like, "Yeah, man. So, what's your problem?" And I was no stress, just like as the easiest going guy ever. And I think also he was glad that it wasn't somebody being like, "What's Wi-Fi?" You know what I mean? Like I had a legitimate problem.
Mm-hmm.
I got a new modem. I got a modem router combo.
You didn't have that before?
No, I had them separated.
Oh, crazy.
Separate. And get this. It said not supported by Cox. Cox is our ISP over here.
Yeah.
And also, it was on the supported list at the same time. Which is, I knew that because I bought it.
That's so then weird.
It was super weird.
Well, why did you buy one? Did you change your plan? Did you get gigabit or something?
I was having issues. It was like, then every time I would reset it, it would work. So I knew it was either my modem or my router. And I was like, fuck it, I'll just get a dual and then not have to worry about what it is.
Yeah, that's the way to go anyway these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super easy. The casual person that doesn't do anything with electronics would find it very difficult, I feel like, because you do have to contact your ISP and find, you know, three sets of long numbers.
Yeah, find the Mac ID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Been there, man. Dealing tech support.
Yeah, but I did like it. Dude, he was like, yeah, man, that's kind of weird. That shouldn't happen. Let's find out what the problem is. I'm like, yeah, let's go on this adventure together, dude.
Oh, dude. Well, that's good because not everyone's like that. When I did work tech support, there was a lot of interesting people that I worked with, and everyone had their own way of dealing with customers and with people. And this one guy who got hired around the same time I did, he was so funny, man. He was this short Mexican dude, and he was like, he was always partying on the weekends, and he'd come in and like. He was like a real natural guy, kind of like that, but not super like laid back. Yeah. But at one time, some lady called in and they got to chatting and got real personal, and he got like her email and they started emailing back and forth, and like this whole romantic thing evolved. Yeah, it was weird, man.
Were you like, with a big company when you were doing it?
No, it was outsourced. We were in a call center out in Kearney Mesa, and it was us. And it was also the people who sold Padres tickets, the baseball team here.
Okay.
So we were on one side of the office, and it's just like you look and it's just this giant room of cubicles, dude, just going forever. And you just sit there and tiny little cubicle and you take call after call, and it's super stressful because they want you to be under 14 minutes, I think was the time. Like, they want you to handle a call within 14
minutes.
And
how could you?
Well, it depends, man. Like, if you get someone who has no idea what they're doing, yeah. or if they're like, you know what, I've got
a mouse.
I've got six products here and I'm trying to get them all set up. You're like, oh, okay. I mean, if you're on a call longer than like 15 or 20, they'll come over and like tap you on the shoulder and, you know, you mute and you'll be like, really? Oh, yeah, this is going on, yada, yada, yada. They're like, oh, okay.
Fucking
but it looks bad. I mean, they wouldn't be dicks about it.
Oh.
You know, they're just like, they want an explanation. If you're struggling, then they'll just be like, all right, send it up to tier two. They'll handle it.
The cool guys in the back that have their feet up all with shades on,
mm-hmm.
tier two.
Yeah, which I did. I did move up to tier two.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We got
yeah.
a tier two. I was an operator right here. Yeah, watch out.
I was handling the tough calls. But yeah, man, they were fun times. Though. I remember like when I was working there, Doom 3 out.
They were not fun.
The working sucked.
Right.
But
there were fun times.
The people who were there, like it was my first tech job. So to be around a bunch of other nerds was like so cool. Like to come in and talk about Doom 3 or to talk about like, you know, what torrent sites were out there, like Supernova or like, oh, I got a rip of this or something. Like everybody knew what was going on just
that's
to be
cool.
Yeah, that was peers. Really cool. Yeah.
True peers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I enjoyed that aspect of it. And the good thing about it too, as miserable as it was, I learned so much. Like that is where the expression cut my teeth, you know, that's right. Totally where I cut my teeth, man.
Well, the best, well, not the best, but one of the best ways to learn is to teach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, I mean, you're thrown into an environment that's incredibly difficult. You're like helping people over the phone. You're not there. So right. you have to, you're not only like learning technical stuff, but you're learning all sorts of people skills and how to deal like customer service, basically. Said all this in my interview, by the way. Apparently didn't impress him last week.
I'm telling you, dude, it had nothing to do with you, dude. But
you are kind of right. I found out there were three positions. I, of course, didn't get any of them, but one of the people that did get them, friend of someone up there. So yeah. I haven't just networked enough, apparently.
Yeah. there's that reaching out thing, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. On that note, so they were trying to keep Asians out of Harvard, right? Because there was too many Asians getting in because they have the best grades,
mm-hmm.
because they work the hardest. And so they put a new acumen in the like requirements was like social ability, I guess.
Hmm.
So if you weren't like a social butterfly, that would get points against you, and they had a reason to keep you out.
Wow.
Fucking crazy, right?
Yeah, that's
what happened to you, Bobby.
Yeah.
You got the social butterfly.
Well here's
the thing.
You should
have said I have a super popular podcast.
I did mention the podcast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because they asked about like any skills you had outside of like office and technical, and I, of course, mentioned all my audio and video skills. But yeah, man. So whatever, dude. I'm feeling a lot better about it this week. Still not over it, but you know, I'm like, whatever. So let's talk about some games, man. Left 4 Dead 2. I talked about this a few weeks ago. So two weeks ago they had that free weekend and they were selling the game for $2. And I played a little bit of it then with the new Last Stand map. But I wanted to get back into it, really get into it. And I did just that, played with Sniper, played with one of our listeners, O'Neill, had a really good time, played a little bit. Curd the Ape was around for a little bit. So it was nice to play with some DLG community. And it was great, dude. Like, it was so much fun. This game is always good when I go back to it, but the new content, like, the map is fine. The map, I think, is actually kind of not super great.
Is there a theme?
No, there's two levels, and each level has an event, which is kind of fun. So it kind of goes quick. But the last one goes on a very long time, and it's really hard, so I kept losing at it. But
especially with newbies.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? When I played with the DLG community, man, like they were on top of it. I guess O'Neill had played a lot on Xbox. He was very familiar with it. So.
I also told them to listen to you. Did they?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't try to boss people around or anything. But, I mean, we played that. The new map's like, okay, whatever. But what's great about this is the game runs better now. It definitely runs better. They added all these guns from CSGO.
Right.
So I guess that's kind of cool if you play CSGO. But it really needed some diversity in guns. Because it used to have, like, shotgun tier 1, 2, and 3, assault rifle, tier 1, 2, and 3, sniper rifle, maybe two tiers. I can't remember. Then the melee weapons, like it had a bit of variety, but it was basically like, do you want a shotgun or a machine gun?
But that's good for everybody, not just CSGO fans, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, like they still kind of have shotgun, sniper rifle, and machine gun, but the machine guns are a little more varied now.
I see.
But so, like, I mean, the bug fixes
are the same.
Yeah, and they've also added like a few new skins, like little tiny things I noticed in the game that just make it look a little fresh. But mostly just the bug fixes. I mean, the game runs great. So after we played some of that, I think it was down to just me and O'Neill at this point, and we jumped on this map called Helm's Deep.
Oh, which, yeah, I love that map, yeah, dude.
And apparently, there's a couple versions of Helm's Deep now because they've been fixing it. Yeah, it's a great map. Basically, it's like the Helm's Deep from Lord of the Rings. You're holding out on that big wall, and you know, you're shooting the zombies as they run in, then they blow down part of the wall, and you got to move back and continue to defend. And you keep on like moving back, you know, falling back as you're holding out. And we did pretty good. And that's just such a great map. And the mods are just insane on this game. There's so many good ones. There's some really good just graphical ones. Like they have updated skyboxes. The Better Blood one is really good. Like ones that just make the game look a little newer and fresher.
It's always good. Like if there's a I always forget the name of this dude. Mod store. That's not what it's called.
Steam Workshop.
The Workshop.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a workshop in a game, especially if it's offline game or you're going to play a single player, just go in there and download the top five ones.
Yeah.
Unless it sounds like awful to you, like, oh, I don't want whatever it is, but
bunch
like,
of anime.
Yeah, it's usually a bunch of fixes.
Usually it's like the essential ones.
Yeah, I mean the entire time that I was doing Skyrim modding, the most important one was always the essential mod, which mm-hmm. just fixes all like a laundry list of fucking of bug fixes.
Yeah. Yeah, which you got to get for those Bethesda games.
So we're feeling Halloween-y, huh?
Like, yeah,
it's around that time. Our four piece set of Ghostbuster costumes came in. We are the three Ghostbusters, and Luna, I believe, is going to be Slimer. We all got ours, and they look pretty great. But hers, I haven't seen yet. So wow.
They got the proton pack and everything.
Yeah. It's like a little backpack with nothing in it.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
And the thing you hold is kind of like like this Velcro thing. But it looks fine. It looks mm-hmm. cool, and it has a thing that connects it. It looks great.
It's not movie quality, but it'll work.
that's for damn sure.
I don't know if this is right, but I want to say like those things, those proton packs in the movies, they were so heavy that everyone was having back problems from them. It sounds like a story I heard. Seems believable. But yeah, dude, it's going to be a lot of scary games and a lot of scary movies for all of October here. I was going to start Doom 3 this week too, because Doom 3 is like Half-Life 2 for me. Half-Life 2, I started playing that game. I never finished it. I lost my saves. I started playing it again, lost my saves again. I didn't beat Half-Life 2 until like 2014 or something ridiculous like that. And I had played the first half of the game many, many times. And that's exactly what's happened to me with Doom 3. So I'm thinking it's a long game, which is a problem, though. Because if I start it up and be like, all right, this is it, let's finally beat Doom 3, then I don't know if I'll see it all the way through. And now they got the BFG edition. I don't think I've ever played that, so maybe I'd try that one out.
How many hours are we talking? Any idea?
Doom 3? We could look it up on how long to beat. I want to say it's 15 to 20. Like it's from like 2004. This is back when first-person shooter campaigns were like pretty long.
15 hours.
Yeah.
Standard.
Yeah, and everyone was kind of okay with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
if only we had somebody looking things up for us, it'd be fantastic.
You don't need to type in how long to beat.
He typed in, go fuck yourself.
Doom 3. They probably have separate ones for BFG.
11 hours? That's not crazy.
Okay, yeah. 11, 10 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I might do it. I want to play some scary games, but I don't want to play the run and hide ones, you know? So doesn't leave me a whole lot of options. Maybe I'll play Fear 3. Never played that one.
Maybe because you're a little too... What about fucking... I can't read this, dude. My brain breaks when I try to read it. Okay, wait, let me try. Phasmophobia.
Phasmophobia, dude.
Yeah, there we go.
It's when you have a severe fear of Captain Phasma from Star Wars.
Correct.
No, this is a game that has been super popular this week.
Super popular, to put it mildly. Has 10,000 reviews, overwhelmingly positive at 97%. That's up there.
Yeah.
Up there.
It's doing pretty good. And a lot of people are streaming it. A lot of people are talking about it. I have not played it yet. It's only $14. That's not a bad price. I was going to bed, and Fastidious messaged me on Discord and said, hey, man, we're going to play. You got to play this game with us. Dude, I will totally buy you a copy. And I said, man, I totally would, but I have to go to bed, man. A terrible day. This is after I had played like 6 hours of Left 4 Dead 2, and it was bedtime. So unfortunately, I missed out on that. But this game has been super popular. I know Nick has been playing it a lot. Maybe we can get him in here to share what this game's all about. But it looks like it's an interesting type of game. It's not like your typical scary game. It's not like a run and hide thing. It's not a first person shooter. It's very strategic, and it's co-op too.
Let's bring him on. Maybe he can explain. Mm-hmm. He's got some hours logged on. Is that something we can do?
Ooh, I'm a ghost.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Yeah, Phasmophobia is amazing. Do you guys have any questions about it?
It's one of the scarier games you've ever played, right?
Oh, dude. So me and my friends have a tradition. You have to light a candle, all lights off, no Discord chat. You have to use in-game chat. And it's just absolutely terrifying. It's not just jump scares either. It's just like overall horror and things like that. So the game gets really nuts really quickly.
I've run into this before where using the in-game chat is better because that's the way the game was intended. So that's definitely one of these, huh?
Correct. So when you launch the game, the first thing it says three things. It says, try to play in a dark environment by yourself. Use in-game audio, and then it even takes you to the options to make sure that your in-game audio is configured. So it'll say, you know, make sure to use the correct microphone, that you're not using your webcam mic or whatever, and make sure you're using the correct microphone.
Because a lot of the game really relies on communication between the four people playing it.
Yeah, so kind of like Among Us, where you know where you have like the honor rule where when you die, you turn off your microphone. In this game, when you die, the game cuts your microphone for you.
Oh, shit. Okay. That's pretty cool.
So, like, run us through just what's going on in this game. You are grouped up with a few other people. You go into a location, and you're trying to catch a ghost, and you make money off of this?
So the best analogy I've heard is, like, you're like the Ghostbusters scout team. Like, you're not there to eliminate the ghost. What you're there to do is find the ghost, identify it, and try to get evidence of its existence.
Why is there no electricity?
Huh?
Why is there no electricity in the house ever?
There is. So most of the ghosts, I believe there's 9 or 10 types of ghosts you face.
Uh-huh.
Almost all of them hate light. Okay. And so another thing is, depending on what kind of facility you're in, so if like you're in like a house in the middle of buttfuck nowhere where you're in like a log cabin, the breaker switch for that house is going to be a lesser quality. So you might be able to turn like 4 or 5 lights on before you turn on the 6th light, and then the breaker flips, and then you have to run down and turn it back on.
Huh. Obviously I've seen a lot of screens of a lot of scary movies, man, or games, and it looks like a lot of other games. What set this one apart for you?
So you know how Bobby was referencing like a hide and seek, but like a hide and cower kind of game and stuff like that. It's definitely a mixture of being brave and like confronting the ghost,
because you gotta get the picture or whatever.
What?
You gotta get it on film, right?
Yeah, so each mission has 4 objectives and then like some bonus information. And so like the objectives, because you get like, I think, a total of 20 different tools. And the tools will be like an EMF reader, which reads like electromagnetic fields. And what you have to do is you have to find an area that reads a field at a 5. And so that'll be like one objective. The next objective will be like find a room that is less than 10 degrees Celsius. And then you find that room using a thermometer. And then like the final objective will be like, get the ghost on video, or get like a ghost on like a picture. And then the final, like the overall objective is figure out what kind of ghost it is. And so using your tools, you have a little journal and use the powers of deduction to figure out if it's like a demon or a Yuri or like a siren or a banshee. Like it's part puzzle. It's part, scream your fucking head off. It's part hide and cower, but it's also very much like it's different. It's more interactive. You know, that's what makes the game so good. It's that it's so interactive.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah. I think the co-op would add a lot to this,
but yeah, but Bobby and I had the same reaction, because multiplayer kills horror, or at least fear. And then also, even if you're streaming the game, I feel like 20-30% of fear is alleviated by just other people being around. But that's not the case here for some reason.
No, because your friends may kill you. As weird as that sounds.
Yeah.
So your friend, okay, so most of the ghosts, if you say their names, they'll be angered. But let's say I have a crucifix, you don't. And Bobby keeps trying to talk to us over the radio, and he keeps saying her fucking name. We're like, hey, Bobby, what's her name again? And he's like, Carol Wilson. And since the radio plays the name to us, like right. The game can sense that we're talking and we're saying its name, the ghost will aggro and start hunting people. And so, like I said, like even if you're scared, even if you're with people and you think it kills the horror, it absolutely doesn't.
That's so interesting, man. I think that's why if they nailed that one aspect of this horror game, I think that's why it's doing so well. But this is really interesting to me.
So Leslie said something that really pushed a big topic. So she wanted to show her mom the game, so she showed her a YouTube video. And these YouTube dudes were like hella bro and like super like chatty. And she's like, this doesn't make the game scary because they're like super uppity and like they're walking around and like just talking all the time. But the way me and my friends are playing, we're trying to like solve puzzles and put shit together and get stuff on camera. We're not talking that often. And so if like one of us dies, we may not know that we're even dead.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty scary.
What do you think, Bobby? We're going to try this out?
Maybe. I'm pretty interested in this one. And I think it came out right at the right time. I mean, this is the perfect time to be playing scary games. And, you know, they really needed to do something different with scary games, I felt, and you know, I love co-op.
It's Halloween.
So one thing that I should say about the game that is very apparent, the game is very well clear that it should be played in VR, if that makes sense. It's still perfectly fine and scary as fuck playing on keyboard and mouse. But there's so many features in VR. Like, for example, like when you want to get the ghost on video, you just place the camera anywhere you want. You can put it on a table and things like that. Well, when you're playing on mouse and keyboard, it just snaps to areas where you can put it down. But if you're playing with VR, you can actually put it wherever you want. You can put it inside of a drawer. You can open the drawer a little bit, put the camera on the drawer, and then that's your stand for it, you know?
Yeah. So it really was designed with VR in mind.
Yeah, but it's also, like I said, you don't lose anything playing mouse and keyboard. You just gain by playing in VR.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the same thing, actually, dude. But, fucking, we get the VR, dude. Might as well try this thing. And what's cool about it is it's like the same game. It's not like super hot where you have to buy the VR version and you have to buy this. Mm-hmm.
The stuff. Yeah, it's all in the same.
It's all the same package. One. So that's good.
And it's a good thing, man, because it's tough to expect four people who are going to play together to have their own VR sets, you know? So if this had only been VR, I don't think as many people would be playing it.
For sure. I'm glad it's doing well. I'm glad there's a game out there like this. Yeah. I don't know if I have the balls to play it, but I'll give it a shot. I'll try. All right, dude, thanks for calling in.
No problem, man. Y'all have a good night. Shout out to Kurt the Ape for watching me stream playing Magic. See y'all later.
Later. Kurt the Ape is named after Kurt Ape, a Magic Gathering card which is probably why he was watching Nick play Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
It all comes together, buddy. It all comes together.
It's all connected.
Yeah. The only game I played this week was Spelunky 2. I was pretty hyped about it. I have some goddamn complaints, Bobby.
Really?
Yes.
Spelunky 2, not living up to the hype.
Oh, no, it is. It's a great game. It's part one and more, basically. But either I'm too old to play this game, or one drink brings down my skill level so much that it's unplayable. Like, I have to be at my absolute best to do mediocre at this game. Right. And that's how it was with Spelunky 2, Spelunky 1. I, mm-hmm. you know, I just got to get back in the groove, know how to identify it is.
You're not going to be great at it right off the bat. Jeez, I never got good at Spelunky 1. I just gave up.
Like, this is a perfect game. It's funny that you practice piano and you practice typing, but you won't practice controller.
Which one of those things do you think is more important?
Unless you're going to play piano for somebody
video
else.
Video games is not a life skill.
What are you playing piano for?
You
play for other people?
Sometimes. Not often.
Well, you stream for other people, too. Boom. Gotcha. So anyway, yeah, it's fucking so difficult. I have not got to World 2, and I've played probably 50, 60 rounds. You know, they can go really, really quick. Like, mm-hmm. Here's one thing. In Super Mario, let's say, you get hit. You're invincible for like a second and a half or a second or even half a second, whatever it is. This one, no, you get dazed. And during being dazed, they could just keep ass-fucking you the entire time. Just bat. It's fucked up, dude. So the most base bad guy, a bat, could basically kill you if like the circumstances were correct for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So having 4 life total isn't exactly true, because, man, you could get... It's bad.
Well, is it a straight-up roguelike where you finish playing and then you completely reset, nothing carries over, or nothing you get to level 2 and maybe you can start from level 2 now, or
nothing carries over at all.
Nothing at all.
Yeah. Hmm. So you just have to have a really good run, plus you have to have the skills. And that's why I'm saying it's like, I hope my skills get better. I hope I'm not just an old drunk that can't play fucking these newfangled video games.
I think we all just forgot how hard Spelunky was.
Yeah, dude. I was getting frustrated, man. I was having frustrated fun. Was what was going on.
Can't wait to see the speed run of this.
Yeah. The frustrating speed runs. I can't say anything bad about it. It's better than the first game. And the first game was near perfect. So what more could I say about it, you know? That's what I'm going to go with, dude. I just saw Dead Cells on the screen. I'm going to go with, I've been playing so much Dead Cells that my timing is all set up for Dead Cells. That's what I'm going to go with.
Oh, man. I did get a chance to play Thrill of Fight. This game is not free. We were told that it was free.
What?
Yeah, Thrill of the Fight. I thought it was,
I don't know.
We were told it was free on the Oculus Store. No, it's $10 on Steam, $10 in the Oculus Store. It definitely is a workout. So this is a VR boxing game, and it puts you in the ring with, you fight harder and harder guys. Start out with the trainer, and you use the controllers to punch and block. And you can move your body in the headset to kind of bob and weave to dodge punches. It was really, really hard to play this game in my studio, though. There's not enough room for me to move around. I don't do very well with the VR games that require me to actually move around a lot of places. Even the puzzle game, like the Rick and Morty puzzle game, is difficult because you have to walk some distance to like go over to a counter and pick something up or open up a drawer. And that was a bit of a problem. So it was really tough for me. Like, I was able to do the first couple of fights, no problem. But eventually you get to like the harder guys where they step in, you got to step back, you got to start moving side to side, stuff like that. And if you don't have the room, if you don't have the space for this, it is very difficult.
What's your main obstacle? Your bed?
The bed, the couch. Yeah, dude, it's not a lot of room.
Well, you could turn the bed the other way and push the couch.
Every time I want to play a VR game, I don't know. I think also I need a longer USB-C cable as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's really cool about this, this is what's so incredible about this idea here. Whenever you play a boxing game, you always have like a stamina meter or something like that. Oh, this game does not have that.
It's your natural stamina.
It's your natural stamina.
Damn.
Yeah, which is really, like, it's not something I thought about when I played the game. And then I was like, yeah, it probably won't be that big of a deal. But this game really is a workout. Now, if you punch really hard, I don't think it counts it any more than if you just, like, do a lazy swing or something. So I don't know if this is going to make you into a professional boxer or anything. But it is interesting. Like, it is kind of close. Like, it does feel like boxing a little bit.
And you're still moving around. Like, you're moving your body. It's still a minimal workout.
You're moving your arms a lot. Yeah.
But also, if you add emotion, because you want to win, right? I mean,
if you start, like, stepping, yeah, then it'll be even more of a workout. But I couldn't do too much of that. And eventually, you really have to, because the opponents get so difficult.
Does defense work? Like, you can block?
Yeah, you can put your arms up to block, and you can also, you know, try to, like, slip and dodge and everything. Yeah, I mean, it's all very much like boxing.
Damn.
It's actually pretty close.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. It was a lot of fun at first.
You bring me a super sweaty... is there crystallized Bobby Sweat in the VR?
No, I had to... between rounds, I cooled off, went to the corner, sprayed myself with some water.
Cut me, Mick. Cut me.
Yeah. But, I mean, so when I was fighting the early guys, I'm just like, they weren't very hard. I'm like, well, I bet I could just, like, swing at these guys indefinitely and probably win. Because they block, too. And eventually, when they get harder, they'll start to dodge. So I started doing that with one guy. And, yeah, it kind of worked. But then I was, like, super worn out. So I had to, like, take a breather and then go back in. But the opponents that you face, there's one that you come across. He's pretty early on. It's called Spider, and it's this really tall, skinny guy. And he was actually pretty easy, but it was just kind of unnerving. VR is always kind of weird. Like, it can kind of scare you when you see some, like, odd-looking person there, and they stare at you just, like, with those dead eyes like that.
Is he, like, Glass Joe?
No. He's, God, I don't know. If you look him up, Spider, Thrill of the Fight, you can see what he looks like. He is an odd-looking dude. But then shortly after that, you start getting to the guys who are, like, a little more well-built, and you're like, okay, these guys are going to be tough. No, that's not the guy. I saw him in a thumbnail back. Go back once. He's a tall, skinny guy with white hair. Yeah, that one on the right, the video on the right.
He looks like an albino or something.
Yeah, very, very pale, very slender. This doesn't look...
Oh, he's a cutie, dude. He looks like an anime
character. Yeah, like an anime character. That doesn't look the same, though, because he was, like, super tall for me. But they put you in the ring. At first, you're like... The guy we're watching on the screen here, he knocks him down, and he's, like, lifted his hands up like Rocky. You totally want to do that when you knock someone out, too. But you start off in the ring here, and then eventually you work your way up to, like a crowded stadium. It's pretty cool, man. Like,
awesome, dude.
There's a lot of cool things about it. I wish I had more room to play it. And I don't know if this comes back into play later, but at the beginning of the game, they ask you to step on a scale, and then it shows you your weight. And then, I don't know, like, maybe, like, later, they've got, like, a story that builds, like, you're becoming a better fighter, you move up to a different weight class, I don't know.
Well, as long as the game feels right, if they nailed that part, the graphics, the story, that all comes secondary, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it really does have that boxing feel to it.
You only have to move your bed one time, and your couch is easy to move.
Yeah, the bed's not easy to move.
Yeah, you just got to move it once, though.
Yeah, and then I got to move it back.
This way. No, why back?
Why would I leave my bed turned around the other way? That would look weird.
To who? You're the only person that goes there.
That's...
All right, Bobby, we're not going to agree on this.
Yeah, okay, this guy right here is the guy that just stares at you when you're in the menu. this guy in his like jumpsuit. This is your trainer.
See, that guy's way more unnerving than the other guy.
Yeah, well, when you load in the game, he just looks at you, and you can punch him too, and he just stands there and doesn't do anything, and it's just
Russian as fuck, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He lives on pain.
So yeah, I mean, thrill of the fight, pretty good, but you need a lot of space for this one, or you're gonna punch something.
You would think in a giant garage that has space, but right now it's all climate crowding in on me. I'm giving away the treadmill, so that's going to give up 10%.
That'll make some room.
Yeah. So yep. go over the. So you're plugged in the entire time?
Yeah.
Because you bought it on Steam?
On Steam, yeah.
Okay. Was this game on the Oculus Store?
It was, but I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it through Steam.
Oh, but it would have been, see, you would have need the cable though.
Yeah, that would have been really nice, but I don't have my credit card or anything set up with the Oculus Store. Like, I've never done that. So yeah. I was just like, whatever. Let's just go through Steam.
Gotcha. But they should give away free games like Epic is doing to get people to.
That would be nice. They are pretty pricey in the Oculus Store. Not even a demo of this game. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, one fight, dude. That could sell you.
Real easy to make a demo of this game.
Yeah. Beat up Glass Joe for a month.
Glass Joe.
Was that his name?
I think so. It's something Joe.
Yeah.
I think it's Ugly Joe, actually. But, yeah, Ugly Joe. It is Ugly Joe.
No way! From Mike Tyson's Punch Out? No way is it Ugly Joe.
No. Oh, you're talking about Mike Tyson's
Punch Out. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, in this game, in Thrill of the Fight, his name's Ugly Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But in, I was drawing that comparison when I was playing this game, like, oh, it's, you know, like Mike Tyson's Punch Out. I wonder if there's like a rhythm or a pattern to a lot of these guys. And I didn't really notice much of one. Maybe if I had played more and got further into it, I would have started picking up on it.
Maybe they have a style, like maybe some guys are aggressive.
Yeah.
More defensive, but I don't. Yeah. It's not as flagrant as like, you know, something from Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah, I mean, it's very obvious. It's like King Hippo. You got to wait until he drops the, or like he puts his arms down and exposes his gut. Then you punch him there. His pants drop and does that. Like it's pretty obvious, which is why you see all these YouTube videos of people doing blindfolded Mike Tyson's Punch Outs and beating the game blindfolded.
Because exactly.
You could just memorize the patterns.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched any of those, pretty interesting. I did see when I was researching this, it looks like they're working on a Thrill of the Fight 2. So there is a sequel coming out. And it's the big thing that they're advertising with this is there's going to be multiplayer. Which, man, if there's no latency, that would be pretty cool. Virtual boxing.
Yeah, maybe that'll have all the stuff that you were asking for, you know, like a story and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever about the story. But multiplayer could be very cool. All right. Guess let's talk about some movies. Unless any other video games you want to talk about?
What else I got? I thought this was funny. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 or whatever, Modern Warfare no longer fits on a 250 gigabyte hard drive. I think it's like 220 or whatever, but if you have the whatever on there.
Yeah, if you got an operating system, that's going to take up, I don't know how much Windows takes up these days. Usually around like 20.
But this is ridiculous, right? Can we agree? Like, I really like that meme that said that, like, Flight Simulator has the entire world mapped into it, and it still doesn't take up as much.
Yeah, it's got to be textures, right? What's taking up so much space?
I'm guessing, but also it's like, yeah, it's natural progression. Yes, games are going to get bigger. It's just how things go. But you can't be 100 gigs over your next competitor. Yeah. You can't be 100 gigs more. That is not allowed, sir.
Is that the free-to-play game?
I believe so. So they were asking that. I saw that when I was clicking on this. Somebody was saying, why not just separate the three game modes? You know what I mean? Instead of having one overarching game. Just to make it easier on your devs? This is ridiculous. I don't even play the game, and I'm upset, Bobby. Riots in the streets.
It's pretty ridiculous, man. I mean, we all know games are getting bigger, but I feel like 100 gigs is like the, whoa, that's a huge game. Like 250 is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Fall Guys Season 2 is coming out on the 8th. I'm not sure if I've ever played a game that had like hard seasons, you know, before, like mm-hmm. all your XP is wiped and all that stuff. But yeah, your XP is wiped. I believe all the old maps are gone.
What does XP even give you in Fall Guys?
Like everything, basically, like
cosmetic stuff.
You
right?
get the currency, but you also get the crowns, and the crowns get you the good cosmetics.
Oh, okay.
So when season two comes out, I believe there's double XP for a little while. That they're trying to bring everybody back because a lot of people fell off because of the cheaters. Apparently there was some kind of workaround through family share. That's how people were cheating, through family share. So they disabled family share, and now they're going into season two. So all your progress is gone. I believe all the first levels are gone. It's all new levels. It has a medieval theme to it. Hopefully the music changes, and yeah, I think it's really cool. And I also hope that you keep all your cosmetics from first season, because it would suck if you
I'm sure you will.
Yeah,
I think that's the idea, to get people to come in and like really hit it hard for one season, yeah. spend all their stuff before the next one begins, and then the next one starts, and then they gotta.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of how
the
seasons
model.
Work with like Apex Legends and stuff.
Right? Yeah, but I've never been there for a season two. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never played a game all the way to the season two, I don't think.
Huh. Fall Guys.
And a perfect segue between video games and movies. A Monster Hunter World has a movie teaser. Monster Hunter World has a movie teaser. We can click it because it's like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember this. They're working on a Monster Hunter World movie for a while.
Why is Mila Jojovic the go-to monster killer?
On our six!
Oh, she needed something to do after Resident Evil. Not much.
Yeah.
Do they have a release date for that?
I don't know.
It's got Tony Jaa in it. Famous martial artist.
Yeah, from Ong Bak.
Yeah, it is in Ong
Bak. One of my favorite fucking fighting movies. Probably my favorite.
That was the first one was really good.
Either that or The Raid. One of the
The Raid was good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monster Hunter World. Whatever happened to that Mortal Kombat movie they were working on? They finished filming it.
Who knows?
I haven't heard anything about it.
Nor I.
God, did you hear that that James Bond movie got pushed back till April 2021?
Yeah, and then some headline I saw, it said that Bond was the last straw. I believe Regal is shutting down. That's it.
Well, Cineworld owns Regal, and also they've got their own chain. I think it's Cineworld. They've got their own chain in other countries. And yeah, they're probably going to shut down all their locations just because there's no movies to show right now. So
strange, man. But then, what is the number one movie in America? It's like Hocus Pocus, I believe, just because people they're starting to show old movies again.
Oh, in theaters? Yeah, they've been doing that. Yeah, like they brought Empire Strikes Back for the 40th anniversary.
Yeah. Cool shit.
They brought Empire Strikes Back for the 40th movie. That's why that didn't sound right. But yeah, they've been showing old movies and trying to get people in the theater. But what happened was they brought Tenet back. They saw how that did. And now everyone's like, no, postpone.
Yeah.
So,
because even if you make a blockbuster, which is what Tenet was.
Mm-hmm.
There's no blocks to be busted, man. Like,
yeah,
you could only put so many people in the movie theater. What do you want? What would be really interesting to see is how, Mulan did
on Disney.
So it's $30.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if Disney is going to release that, but I did see that Bill and Ted Face the Music did so well that they're going to make another one of those movies. I think it made like $32 million or something. Like it's opening, I don't know how they measured it, but it did pretty well online. And I mean, that movie, they didn't
online.
Put a whole, yeah,
it
online.
Went straight to where could you stream it? Just like all the major ones?
Yeah, where did they put that? From somewhere. You could buy it on a couple different platforms, I believe. But I don't know, because it keeps popping up in like the Fire Stick. So I see it on there, but you don't know what the Fire Stick, because the Fire Stick is pulling things from all the different...
Right.
Services. So yeah, maybe it's on Amazon, but it did pretty well online. Now, that movie wasn't expected to be a blockbuster, so it's not like, you know, I mean, it put up all right numbers, so they're going to make another one, and it's kind of like on the lower budget side, so I don't know.
Do you know what the second one cost?
Oh, it's the third one, but no, I don't know what they spent on it.
No, the second one.
Oh, the second Bill and Ted movie? Yeah.
The one that just came out. I'm wondering if it made 36, I'm wondering what they spent on. No,
this is the third Bill and Ted movie. There's Bogus Journey.
Oh, the new one that just came out is the third one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there's excellent.
News to me, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
You never saw a Bogus Journey?
I don't think I've ever seen any one of them. They look ridiculous.
Yeah, they're pretty ridiculous. The first one's good.
At the right time, right? Like,
I still enjoy it. There's a really awkward homophobic joke in it now that's kind of like, ugh, okay.
But at the time, you probably laughed your ass
off. Oh, at the time, dude, and like all those John Hughes movies, yeah. Same thing. Like, you watch now, like, ugh, dude, super homophobic, super racist. But scroll back up, Sniper, what was the box office on that or the budget? Box office, okay, so they say 5.2, but the budget was 25 million. But some article I read said something about making 32 million. So I don't know. That's probably the box office in theater, and then the 32 million is probably what it made online streaming. So, I mean, it did well, is what I'm trying to say. Well enough.
Bill and Ted is going to, like, in the long run, they're playing the slow game. They're going to overcome Fast and Furious as the greatest franchise of all time.
Maybe. But it's just, blockbusters are not, that's not a good thing to have on your hands right now.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
If you have a nice, like, low budget movie you spent like $25 million on, then you can totally put that out there. And there's some good ones out there, man. There's still good movies coming out. It's just kind of hard to find them. I watched that one, The Rental, directed by James Franco's brother, Dave Franco.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a weird, scary movie thing. But that one was pretty good, man. Like, I was going into it like, yeah, whatever, you know, this is going to be like a cheap horror movie. And it was actually more impressive than I expected. So they're out there, and you can go to drive-ins to see them too. And I mean, some theaters around here are open, but they're all spread out.
Sam was talking about going to see Sublime, Sublime plus Rome. That's the new singer. But it's a car concert. It's interesting because, like, you could take the kids, which is not a thing usually, especially not babies.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, a concert would be weird, but, you know, they're doing that. I've heard of that. I know, like, Keith Urban just did one of those.
So Tesla had Battery Day, where, a bunch of announcements about batteries and stuff. And we thought it was going to be a gigantic thing. And I bought some stock, and it ended up being pretty shitty. But the people watching were all in their Teslas. So it was like it was weird, man. The weirdest audience you've ever seen.
Just a weird car rally.
It was a sea of Teslas, and they were all honking when, like, something cool was said.
Yeah.
You know,
it's weird.
Yeah. It was really weird.
But yeah, they were expecting them to unveil like the million mile battery and like the $25,000 Tesla or something. But
yeah, they said they'll have a $25,000 Tesla in 3 years.
In 3 years. That's not bad, man. 25,000. Yeah. That's starting to get into my price range.
Wakone says it's Sublime back. No, they're not back. They've been around for a while.
Isn't that guy dead?
Yeah, he died. He died before I got into them fucking like 15 years ago, 20 years ago. He had just died, I think, when I fucking found their music, which sucked. I called my buddy that was into rock, and I was like, dude, this fan. He's like, yeah, that guy's dead. I was like, fuck. Anyway, this new guy, his name's Rome. So it's Sublime plus Rome. Yeah, he sounds just like him, but that was not what made Sublime. So Sublime was definitely Bradley. He was a fucking genius, and without him, that's why they're not making new songs.
Well, back to Halloween. I've been watching some Halloween movies. It's gonna be scary shit from here on out. I finished the Hellraiser franchise last week, and I was looking for another franchise.
Let me cut in real quick, Bobby.
Okay.
Were you ever scared during the entire Hellraiser thing? Like, was there anything that we were like, ooh, shit?
Scared? No, but there's some hard to watch stuff in there. It gets pretty gory in a lot of them.
But I thought you watched some, like, I thought you liked, like, super gory stuff.
I mean, not in particular. I watch all sorts of scary movies, and you know, there's a lot of different ways to go about it, and a lot of good things that. I mean, you can make a good scary movie that's like, you know, got a lot of gore in it, or you can make a good scary movie right. that's real cerebral. I mean, it's not like I like anyone in particular.
Okay.
But Halloween is, it definitely feels like a change of pace from some of the other scary movies, because I don't think people really remember, but back in 78, when the first one came out, like, it was kind of a mainstream movie. It was like a mainstream horror movie. It wasn't like a low budget horror movie. Like, they put a good amount of money into it, and they, like, it was really, really designed for a wide audience, and it kind of shows too. Like, the movie is very well made, like very competently made, and you kind of forget, because that was like the movie that kicked off the whole 80s slasher genre. And right. you know, we've seen so much of that now that when you go back and watch the Halloween one, it's kind of like, oh, I've seen all this before, but you forget, like, this really set the formula and really started everything. And so many things about it just work really well. Like the whole final girl thing with Jamie Lee Curtis, the soundtrack is like stellar. That opening sequence that's done with the Panaglide, which was like an early version of a Steadicam. So, you know, it's all shot first person through Michael. Like, it really is. The first one is such a solid movie.
Dude, 77, 78, 79 were some, like, crazy good years, right? So, mm-hmm. you have, like, Alien, Star Wars, Halloween. Those are the big ones that I have. But those are some really good years.
Yeah, I think Saturday Night Fever was in there. Yeah, well, what happened was, I mean, the 70s were just a crazy time for movies in general, because it was when they had all these auteurs, and they were giving money to, like, these young directors who were really in touch with the younger audience. But, like, when Spielberg came along with Jaws, what, 74, 75, that's when they're like, oh, my God, we can make a lot of money doing this, mm-hmm. like a whole lot of money. Now, I mean, it was... A lot of Jaws' success was also because that's right around the time, like literally right at the time they figured out TV advertising, advertise a movie on TV. Everybody knows about it. They're knocking down the door to get into the theater. Like that's part of the reason why Jaws was just so insanely successful. But then that's when they're just like from Jaws on is when they're just chasing the blockbusters and chasing that like big opening weekend and right. everything. So
gotcha.
A lot of money starts getting pumped into movies
right after that. So that yeah. was the like catalyst. And then after that,
mm-hmm. but then that kind of set the trend, and it kind of like Spielberg kind of upset all the auteur directors, like, you know, like Coppola or Hopper, uh-huh. like all the people who are just like, you know, it's about the art, you know, and shit like that. And kind of felt like he was degrading that, but
because he was making blockbusters that were also
he was making movies that made a hell of a lot of money and appealed to a very wide audience right. and were kid friendly.
Yeah.
And like that was the formula to, you know, for Hollywood success. So yeah, he got a lot of flack for that. But yeah,
dude, auteur?
That was, yeah, that's how you pronounce auteur. Auteur, auteur. Yeah. It just means like the auteur theory is that the director is like has complete control over the
of the movie.
Yeah, like every aspect of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like you give him credit for all that. So anyway, Halloween, man, such a great movie. The second one is completely unnecessary. It's not bad.
It's cash grab.
Probably. It's yeah, probably. Yeah. Just totally unnecessary, though. It's one of those movies, like Porky's 2, that picks up right away. Like, it literally begins right when the second or the first one ends.
If you were to ask me if that's the way to go, I'd be like, yeah, that's fucking dope.
It works. Yeah, it works sometimes.
But I can't point out at the time where I'm like, oh, that's the time it worked. You know what I mean?
Do the John Wick movies do that? All the John Wick movies are just like this. If you watch them back to back, it'd be like watching one movie. Yeah.
That guy gets no breaks.
Yeah. Those movies. The third one is so good, though, man. I thought that was one of the best action movies I've seen in a while. Anyway, so the second one, totally unnecessary. I am going to spoil a little something here. Like, the only thing the second one is known for is they reveal this. There's a reveal that Jamie Lee Curtis's character, Laurie, is the sister of Michael, but they didn't know it because the parents died and They didn't say anything about it, and they wanted to keep it a secret.
Is that his obsession? Does that explain his obsession?
I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to explain why he specifically is targeting Lori, because the whole first movie, he's just like laser focused on her. Like, he's killing other people that get in the way, but he's just focused on...
Because fuck you. Just
Yeah, so, I mean, that's really the only thing that the second movie has going for it, and it kind of runs into a dead end. Like, the movie just kind of ends very abruptly and, like, unceremoniously. The third movie, I was kind of prepared for this because I had just heard, like, look out for the third movie, and Halloween 3, Season of the Witch is where things get weird. Has nothing to do with Michael at all.
Strange.
Takes place completely outside. If this movie wasn't called Halloween 3, you wouldn't even know that it was a Halloween movie. And apparently that was John Carpenter's original idea. He wanted to make like kind of vignettes almost of movies of like, he wanted to call each one Halloween. And then each one shows like some scary story.
Yeah.
Kind of like American,
or something.
What's that? American Horror Story. But they split it up into seasons. Like, you know, this is about a crazy psych ward. This is about clowns, you know. But yeah, so Season of the Witch is just completely not what I was expecting. Just totally gets rid of the whole Michael storyline.
Good?
No, but like maybe so bad it's good. I couldn't figure it out, man. It is. I was listening to a podcast with this guy, Fetty Alvarez. He directed Don't Breathe in 2016 and also the Evil Dead remake in 2013, which is a great remake, by the way. And he was talking about how, like, you can do things in your movie that are kind of, like, they seem kind of contrived and forced just to, like, push the story forward. You can do that a couple of times, but eventually you'll start to lose the audience.
Unless you do it the entire time, then it's a parody of itself, kind of.
Yeah, then you're lampshading. You're drawing attention to it, usually for a humorous effect. But in a scary movie, you know, like, people are always going to nitpick. They're gonna be like, why don't they call the cops? Why don't they do this? And, like, you can do that a little bit here and there, but if there's too much of it, then you lose the audience, is what he said. And it's so true. And that's what Season of the Witch does. The characters in this are, like, a mess, man. It's ridiculous. This whole movie is just downright ridiculous. And the special effects are kind of cheesy. And, like, it's about this, like, new age witch coven, but it's all a mystery, and it builds up to it, and there's a big reveal. I'm going to spoil this movie too. I'm so sorry, guys. Like, just, you know, skip ahead if you don't want to hear this. But the whole thing is that there is a guy who is a billionaire because he made a killing selling Halloween masks. Like,
from the movie?
Yeah, in the movie. This is the story of the movie.
No, but the masks were from the first movie? Like that mask?
No.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Totally different masks.
Okay.
And there's only three types of masks. There's a pumpkin, a witch, and a skeleton. He only makes three masks. Billionaire, dude. Killed it. Killed it in the Halloween
mask. That's all we got to do, Bobby. Yeah.
And he's making these masks that have little pieces of Stonehenge in them that will fry the brains of everybody when he plays a commercial on Halloween night, because he's a witch and he wants to play a big trick on people or something. Like, that's the plot of the movie. And not only this, he has created an army of straight up Terminators of like robots that pass off as humans to do his bidding.
Are you,
and there's a line in this
movie. Are you fucking with me?
No, dude, this is the movie. And there's a line in the movie where he's like, where the big reveal comes, where they say, oh, like they were robots the whole time. All his henchmen are robots. And he's just like, you know, they're really not that different from making masks, you know? And I'm like, yeah, dude, making a T-100 or a Halloween mask is a little different, dude. You can't just gloss over that. And the movie
does. When was this made?
What was the name of what?
When was this made?
This was made in 82, 83.
Oh, yeah. The height of cocaine, dude.
Yeah.
That's what was going on.
Well, I mean, the whole thing's kind of a satire on, like, American consumerism. Not so much a satire, but kind of poking fun at it, because it's like, you know, all the kids are getting candy and buying Halloween masks, and, you know, that's eventually going to kill them. And there's this commercial that they constantly play, like, 8 days to Halloween. Like, if we could get some audio of that commercial, that'd be great, because it's super annoying, and they play it about 25 times in this movie. And it drives you nuts after a while. It really does want to make your head explode.
I'll be right back.
Commercial advertising the immortal classic Halloween, followed by this, of course.
There it is.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. Ellie walks in.
Yeah, so you hear that quite a few times in this movie, and it gets super duper old. But those are the only three that I've watched so far. Halloween 1, 2, and 3. And again, like, I'm not saying Season of the Witch was bad. Like, it was like, it was well made, surprisingly, except for some cheesy special effects. But like, I don't know. I'm so divided on that movie. I can't make up my mind about it. I think there's how many Halloween movies are there? 10. I want to say 10 because Rob Zombie rebooted it in the mid 2000s. Okay. We got Halloween 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 is Curse of Michael Myers. Then they had that soft reboot in the 90s, the H2O, 20 years later. That starts up. So 7, 8, and then the Rob Zombie remakes, 9, 10, 11. So 11 Halloween movies. Excuse me. And I have seen some of these before, but not all of them. These early ones I've never seen. The first one I've seen several times. The like two through eight, never seen though. So uncharted territory. I'll be back next week and let you know how that worked out. But after this, I don't know. I guess it's the Freddy series. I haven't seen all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. So maybe I'll do that. Or maybe I'll watch some good horror movies. But I feel like I've already seen all the good horror movies. I know the Platform, Nick's recommending that in chat. That I've heard that come up several times too, The Platform. I don't know what that's about. That's on Netflix. It's not a TV show, is it? Let's bring it up here. It's on Netflix. Science fiction. Is it a movie though, or is it a TV show? So I don't know about TV shows. That is a film. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll check it out. You know what I love about horror movies too? They're short. Like a good horror movie is like 90 minutes because they know they don't need to be longer than that. So I'm always a fan of a shorter movie. Every now and then I can do the really long ones, but brevity is appreciated. Let's see. This looks, so we're watching The Platform here. This looks kind of like, I don't know, this guy's in an asylum or something. Weird stuff going on. Some food.
I thought horror movies were just to, like, you know, make out with your girlfriend and stuff. Like, people, you enjoy them just for the art. Like, you just watch them alone to be scared. That's.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, dude. Horror movies don't scare me anymore because I've seen so many of them. The only things that get close to scaring me, thank you. What is this, La Croix? Okay. Yeah, La Croix. Yeah, the only types of horror movies that scare me anymore are possession movies. And I don't know, that might have to do with being raised in the church and actually like spending a good portion of my life believing in demons and shit. So I don't know, maybe that's tapping into something. But
do you believe in the supernatural, Bobby?
No, and I meant to ask that when Nick was on, when we were talking about phasmophobia.
Well, like, he can respond right now, I think.
Do you guys believe in ghosts? Twitch chat?
It's a tough one. I would say, gun to the head, I would say no.
Dwight is mentioning Gone Girl. Don't watch that. Scariest movie I saw in years. Yeah, well, scary for a different reason, dude. There are movies,
a strange movie, right? That's all I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's very weird. But as a guy, yes, that's a very scary movie. And if you're looking for a movie that scares you like that, like adult scary movies that terrify you, like give you that existential, not like, ooh, spooky, scary, aliens, monsters, whatever, like, oh my God, this could really happen to me kind of scary thing. My number one recommendation is a Dutch movie called... I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's like Spoorloos. I mean, in a Dutch accent, Spoorloos. I don't know. But the American name is Without a Trace. And there's a U.S. version of it with Alec Baldwin that's not very good. But it's from the late 80s. Without a Trace, like 1989 or something. The original Dutch version, like, that is a disturbing movie to watch. That's how I would classify these movies. Like
disturbing.
Gone. Disturbing, yeah. Like
on purpose.
They're scary because they could actually happen. You know, it's like late 80s. It's not a very well-known movie, apparently. You're trying to, like, Google search it, and it's just not coming up. It's up there, though.
This isn't it? Without a Trace, 1983?
No, it wouldn't be in 83. This was, like, 89. I would look for it not on YouTube, on Google. Yeah, I've heard the American
Sonder in Spoo.
Yeah, but it's Spurlus. So it doesn't directly translate to without a trace. Without a trace. Maybe type in Dutch. Dude, what is going on with your Canadian Google, dude? You get some weird
Dude, it results. Sucks. It just hates the Dutch. Yeah. Oh, the vanishing? Spurlus, the vanishing, I think. Traceless or without a trace. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Spurlus, Spoorlos. Dude, I saw this movie months ago, and I think about it almost every day.
Jeez.
It just...
Really?
Like, just at least once a day, it pops into my head, and I'm just like... Fuck.
So you're saying that it's like better version of Gone Girl?
I haven't even seen Gone Girl, dude. I don't even know
for next week.
Yeah, I should watch it, but I don't want to say like it'd be better. It'd be kind of weird to compare the two, but I think they're kind of similar. They have very different plots, but I'd think they're similar in the way that they have that kind of. They scare you, but not like a boo, spooky, scary thing. They scare you like, oh my God.
Changes your life.
Yeah. Like I'm a vulnerable human being. Life is so fragile, yada, yada, things like that.
I don't want to subject myself to any of that. Nope. I'm going to keep on coasting on thinking everything's cool, man.
Yeah.
See the Lobster?
Yeah, I saw the Lobster.
What'd you think?
I liked it. It was weird.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It's weird. Like, almost weird for the sake of being weird.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
Well, I kind of liked this other movie better.
Some of the shots reminded me of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, The Boys Season 2, not going to spoil anything, Bobby. So, you didn't get around to watching any of it, huh?
No. I didn't watch any of The Boys.
It does not disappoint. It picks up right where the season 1. Don't even click on anything, dude, because I don't want Bobby to see who's still alive in Season 2.
Yeah, I got to be careful where I click because I saw an article that's like something about killing off a person. So
yeah. Very good though. Fucking just as good, if not better. And that's hard to say for like a really standout season of something. Also, I'm pretty sure I'm obsessed with Dungeons and Dragons, man. So I listened to like 2 Dungeons and Dragons podcasts. The only time I set out for myself, and this is hard fight. Like, I had a big fight with Sam over this. Like, I almost don't play video games at all anymore. And all my personal time, which is like 6 hours a week, is dedicated to Dungeons & Dragons.
Wow.
Pretty much. So, a couple stories from that. The Livingston, our DM for one of my things... the campaigns where I played the ranger boy who doesn't have a name because he was basically a wood, grew up in the woods and nobody ever named him. And anyway, so he made like saw, this is homebrew stuff that he made. We're playing like straight out of the book stuff, but then out of nowhere, this whole homebrew thing that he had cooked up, and he basically put us in these Saw the movie style, like torture rooms. Mm. And they were specified for our character's background and like personality. You know what I mean? So like
your own private hell.
Yeah. So Daze, she's a bard and she sings a lot and she talks a lot and she's very like loquacious and boisterous naturally, especially when she's drinking. And then that's how her character is. And she just fucking goes off, you know, and it's great. It cracks me up every time. But she was put into a room with like all these zombies all the way around her, and every time that she made a noise, they would attack her with Vicious Mockery, which is like a low-level spell, but it hurts you and it sets you up for the next guy too. So it's like a bunch of insults. So she couldn't make any noise, and so she had to figure that out. And then I somehow got thrown into JP Diddy's room, which was he's an orphan, and then I had to the only way to get out of the fucking room was to hit these rocks with varying degrees of damage, but every time you did so, orphans would get damaged or die. And so I was trying to figure it out without doing as much damage as I could, and it was very frustrating. So like, it's almost like trying to figure out a puzzle without touching it at all. But in order to get information about the puzzle, you got to touch it.
And in order for touch it, you fucking, you're killing orphans. It was terrible. It made me feel so bad. And it was great, man. It was really, really cool. And then on the other one, you were there, Bobby. We had like a Helm's Deep situation going on. And so yeah. Nick is our DM in our other game. And we were defending the walls against a dark elf horde. And Nick made the mistake. Well, he put us up against something we could not deal with. No way. There was like
30. Not by ourselves.
Yeah, like 30 or 40 guys. Mm-hmm. So he gave us the biggest unit that, you know. We're basically living, Nick's living out his Warhammer fantasy, and we're like a small tool to help him live out his Warhammer fantasy, basically. He took the our D&D characters, thrust us into a Warhammer universe, and that's basically, so all the bad guys, everything is all for Warhammer. So anyway, he gave us like the chunkiest unit, one of the chunkier units that the lizard men have, and I cast enlarge on him, so it doubles his size, and he just mopped the floor with the opposition. And Nick at the end of it was like, I didn't expect you to do that. And then I was like, that's what kind of what makes D&D fun, because anything can happen, right? I had a good
yeah it's time. Just a big sandbox. You never know what's going to happen.
And next time we play, I'm going to go out on that battlefield. I play a necromancer in that one. I'm going to go find the beefiest boy out there, dead boy, and make him, try to make him my pet. There's like infinite variability. It's like, it's a fucking shopping mall of potential zombie corpses. It's fantastic.
Yep. Well, if they don't disappear.
That's a, like a video game.
Which some of the corpses have been doing.
Yeah. And that leads me to Baldur's Gate 3, which is the newest game for Larian Studios, which we... The consensus is made the best RPG video game of all time, which being Divinity Original Sin 2. So it's funny, if you have no idea what we're talking about, it's funny that Divinity Original Sin 2 is the sequel is not Baldur's Gate 3. They just happen to be given the IP to make this game. And they've always wanted, this is what they want. You know, they're big D&D freaks too. And they had to campaign to get it. And, you know, making the best RPG ever might be good on your resume to do that. This is just straight D&D. They're trying to get that literally anything your imagination can come up with is there. The game's coming out with 16 races to start with. You know, it's the hard 8 races with their, all their sub races. And then there is, you know, it's just basically like playing 5th edition. It has all the same stuff, minus a few little things, but this is early access. I wouldn't usually pick up an early access game, a game like this.
So early access is October 6th?
Yeah. I almost, like when Divinity came out, I did not buy it because I wanted to play the final project. I mean the product, because you don't want to get burned out before you have the best version of it.
And you know, that happened with Divinity 1 and 2, where they released the game and then not too long after they released the enhanced edition and the enhanced edition is so much better.
Well, it's early access, then regular release, and then the special edition. And yeah, they weren't
too far. Did Divinity have early access?
Divinity 2 did. Yeah, for sure.
Because I remember it. Yeah, it was only like the first island or something. Yeah, I didn't buy it until it officially released.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't bring my saves over to the enhanced version.
Yeah.
And I was stuck anyway. So.
And so this is going against everything, basically, that I feel like how you should handle early access games for games like this.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to pick it up and play it.
It's a tough call.
I'm obsessed, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm listening to podcasts. All of my free time goes towards it. I think about it all the time.
Well, the thing is, though, like Divinity games, and I assume Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be somewhat like a Divinity game, you end up playing those multiple times anyway. Do you know how many times I've played through Fort Joy on Divinity 2? Like, so many times.
And what a testament that is that you did. You know what I mean?
And each time I had a different experience.
Yeah. How crazy is that?
Although the last time, I seriously think I did absolutely everything you can do on Fort Joy.
There's a new race. This is in D&D, regular D&D, by Wizard of the Coast. A new supplemental book came out called Somebody's book of everything. So they're just adding a bunch of stuff to 5th edition. And there's a new race, and they're called Tortles. They're basically a turtle race. And
didn't WoW do that? Yeah, it wasn't a playable race, but there was a race of turtles.
Really?
I don't remember that. Like, the last expansion that I played, I can't remember. There was this turtle race, and they were pretty funny, man. I wish that was a playable race, be like a Ninja Turtle.
Dude, their background and their setup sounds... My next guy is going to be a turtle, no matter what. So, this is their life story. They're... I don't know how to put it. So, they're born in a clutch, right? And then they live 1 year with their parents, in which their parents tell them all their life experiences. And then they go off into the world at 1 year old. Their parents die. Because the parents have the babies at the very end of their life. Hmm. So all the turtles' life is, they only live 50 years. So at 40, really? Yeah.
Because real tortoises live hundreds of years.
This is the way they did it. So they live life to the max and try to get as many experiences to tell their children at the last year of their life. You know what I mean? So they go out. They're from a really tiny island. I thought the lore was fantastic. Their AC without any clothes on is 17, and they could fucking turtle up and their AC goes up to 21. That's with no clothes on.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah.
That's cool, man. I want to play as a turtle.
Yeah, man, dude. It sounds awesome to me. I really like the idea. Actually, it was for charity. This is not part of the whatever guide of everything. There was a charity thing that Wizards of the Coast did, and this was the race that they came out for it. All proceeds, which makes it even better story, all proceeds from this expansion of the tabletop game went to charity.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I thought it was super sweet.
It's been a while since we had a good Ninja Turtle game. Just thinking about that. Anyway,
the last one wasn't that bad.
The last Ninja Turtle game?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
I don't know. Snapper, do us a favor.
There was one that came out, I think, in 2017 that I played, and it looked like a brawler beat 'em up, and it was terrible. Yeah. It wasn't good at all. There is a change to Twitch coming that I read about. Twitch soundtrack. Did you hear about this?
No.
Wow, okay. I thought it was pretty big news. So, you know, people always have an issue with music being played on Twitch. They're finally trying to address that, and they're starting this thing called Twitch Soundtrack, where, let's see, what is it? They have like a library of selected music that is totally okay to play on Twitch, and you can pull from that library, which is good because you don't have to worry about your VODs losing audio. But here's the crazier part about it. It is a separate, the music is piped in separately than your stream. So if there ever is like a content issue, they can mute just the song and not your stream. And I don't know, but I think the people watching may be able to control the volume of the music separately or something.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I don't know if that's a feature or not. I feel like that might have been mentioned.
When you first said that, I thought it was for sure like a workaround for programming this whole, instead of just doing it all, like, you know, whatever programming went into Twitch, adding this feature inside of it would be like, you'd have to rewrite a whole bunch of shit to just do a separate thing that does it on top of it. Seems a lot easier. But anyway, well, your explanation's way better. Like, that'd be great.
Yeah,
both of those things sound good.
It'll be pretty good for people as well, because they're going to be playing this stuff in a separate window. Like, they have to bring up a separate window and go to, like, it kind of looked like Spotify almost.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder if it's like Spotify, where the artists are actually going to get some money from this.
I think so. And, you know, the artists have obviously chosen to be on.
Right.
To be on there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's cool that they're finally addressing that, because that was always, like, a big issue with Twitch. Like, you'd play a song, which people always do, and it would just get muted in the VOD, which is super annoying. You know, if you got a lot of people that watch your stuff.
This should have happened years ago.
Yeah.
Or they should have partnered with Spotify.
But once Amazon bought Twitch, I was expecting, like, a lot of stuff to happen, and a lot has happened, but...
It moves slow, man.
Well, I think like a lot of the stuff we wanted to see, like bits, they brought in bits and it's like, okay, that's cool for you. I mean, you're making more money.
Yeah.
And, but they did kind of like fix the whole, cause it used to be like a real
shit show.
Yeah. It was kind of a sketchy way like to do donations and stuff like that. Now everything's pretty well streamlined, especially with stuff like Streamlabs OBS. Like, it's so easy to get your stream up and running with all the cool little features.
Now, this is probably true because I'm pretty sure this works, but with your Prime account, I believe you get a music service. Nobody uses it, but I believe that you do. I'm surprised that didn't get linked up through this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it would.
There's a lot of stuff in Prime that you get that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
You can get food delivered to your house for free.
Do you have to tip?
Yeah, Bobby, you have to fucking tip. It's a human being.
Well, it's not
God
free.
God damn it. Jesus Christ. I mean, you don't have to tip.
Well, no.
Morally, you have to tip.
A service like that, yeah, you'd want to tip, but I'd probably just pick it up myself. Especially in these COVID days. Some stranger coming to your door with food.
Are you telling me you haven't had food delivered since, especially pizza, since COVID?
No, I haven't. Not to my place. No, haven't had
that anything. Is crazy, dude. You don't have food delivered, but then again, you're downtown, you're a few blocks from anything.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass where I live to get food delivered. Yeah. But even at my girlfriend's, we might have done it like once, but usually we just go pick it up because it's somewhere pretty close.
Huh, interesting.
Don't do a lot of delivery,
huh?
Yep, All right,
you watch Blackfish.
Yeah, I'll just mention it real quick. I'm still trying to keep up with my documentaries, and I'm watching a lot of the documentaries that like everybody has seen,
right.
And I don't know, I missed somehow. I probably like heard about it and was like, yep, get the picture, don't need to watch it.
Yeah.
So I watched Blackfish. That's the one that came out in 2013. It was about like, you know, the situation with SeaWorld and their trainers and how whales kept attacking people. And, you know, it's kind of an expose that shows some pretty gnarly stuff about the capturing and containment of whales, and you know, using them as entertainment. And it was very well done. Like I'm impressed at how strong of an argument they made for this. Like,
so much of one that laws were made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can do it in Canada anymore, dude. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff changed after that, and I know. It really hurt SeaWorld just as far, like financially.
Yeah, they started moving into rides. They started putting their money into rides.
Yeah, but a lot of people stopped going to SeaWorld. And here's the thing, though. Like, I remember going to SeaWorld. I remember seeing Shamu doing the show and everything like that. I totally, when they're showing footage of, like, the whales bleeding, because whales are very territorial and the females are, like, usually the aggressive ones. So like when they put the male in there and it's a very small contained space. So they didn't have enough room. So they felt threatened. So the females would start, they had a name for it, raking. They start raking. They would drag their teeth across the skin of the whale and they'd like leave these big gashes on it. And then of course they talk about the dorsal fin being flopped over. You almost always only see
that from the chlorine.
No, I think that's just because they're straight up depressed. Apparently, whales are incredibly emotional beings.
I get soft when I'm depressed, too.
But I remember seeing all that, like going to SeaWorld. I remember seeing like gashes on the side of the whale and asking, oh, what's that? You know, like, oh, well, you know, sometimes they scrape each other accidentally or something. And like, hearing all this stuff. So it's kind of weird to watch this. And you know, the dorsal fin flopped over, hearing about that. It is pretty depressing. It's kind of a depressing movie, but it really makes you think just about using his animals as entertainment. I remember going to the San Diego Zoo when I was very young in the 90s, and you could ride an elephant, I think a camel as well. Yeah. But I remember riding an elephant, and it's like a little kiddie ride. You know, they like walk around in a circle very slowly, and you know, anything an adult would do, but for the kids it's like pretty entertaining. I remember the elephant had hair like a nut sack, just very sparse, but long and wiry. I think all over their body. Well, definitely on top of their head. That was obviously the part of the elephant I was seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We rode them in Thailand. It was different there, though, dude. Like, they were happier elephants in Thailand than they are what you're talking about.
Well, they probably had more of them to run around. But the problem, there's another documentary, which I haven't seen yet, but I've seen clips of it, and I've like seen the people doing the podcast rounds about it. It's called Love and Bananas. It's it's about elephants. And the part I watched like was pretty gnarly, dude, because elephants are known for having a really good memory, right?
Right.
And they also have a very strong familial bond. So what you do to make an element, to break an elephant is what they call it. So like it can be around humans and be safe.
You're about to break my heart is what you're about to do.
This is gnarly, dude. They have to, as soon as, when the elephant's born and it's very young, you separate it from its family, which is very, very difficult because again, they're very emotional beings. And you have to tie it up so it can't move. And a human, it has to be a person, has to beat it constantly for usually about 2 to 4 weeks. It has to be a person and the elephant has to see it. That way they get this fear instilled in them from a very young age. And the only thing that elephant knows, it forgets about its family. And the only thing that it remembers is that
fear the human.
Fear the human.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, these elephants that you ride at the zoo or wherever, and this is mostly done in Thailand, actually. But that's why when you see these elephants that are domesticated, like that's how they're domesticated, man.
Like, and another thing, like a lot of these, they proclaim that they're elephant sanctuaries.
Yeah.
So they save the elephants from places like what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine, but you don't know, dude. You have no idea what Thai politics are like.
Yeah.
Have you seen them paint? Have you seen an elephant paint a picture?
Oh, man. I think I
have. Look this shit up, dude.
I think I have seen, like, a long time ago. I think I saw a video like that.
There's, like, elephants that paint elephants, dude. It's fucking crazy. Look at that.
They're so incredibly smart, dude. I mean, whales, too. Like, you got to imagine a creature that big has a pretty big brain.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they were talking about in that Blackfish documentary, like the part of their brain that feels like that deals with emotion, like that's very big. So they're very emotional animals. They understand family and community and, you know, they have a sense of self. Like it's so pretty crazy.
Even though I've never seen Blackfish, I have an interesting relationship with it through the Rogan podcast because the guy who made it has been on Rogan 3 times. So that's 9 hours of listening to him talk. So like, I don't know what equates to watching the movie versus...
Dude, this elephant is a better painter than me, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I could not do that.
But, dude, is it artistic skill or have they been whipped to the point where they learned how to do this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's fucked up, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, this has always been a problem in movies, right? Like, there's always been, like, animal abuse in movies. And so in some movies, it's more than others. Like, in John Waters, what's going on, Chet?
Let's see some elephants paint some neck runs.
I'm making some progress on my neck runs.
Yeah.
By the way, painting a black base coat is definitely the way to go. Like that, I don't know. You have different guys than me, but for the neck runs, you got to start with just slap everything in black and then put the bronze on after that. And then, yeah.
I watched, speaking of Warhammer 40K, Nick just whipped out the fucking Vaseline, dude. But I watched 3, like, games. Being played, the tabletop game. It's called like Warhammer in 40 minutes. And that's a condensed version, dude. It's 40 minutes for a like edited, highly edited version. So a real game must be like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Hmm.
Did not look appealing. Although I did watch 3 of them. It didn't look appealing, man. It's just like you set your guys up and then it's a lot of dice rolling. I mean, a lot. Like a cup full of dyes all thrown at once.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really weird. Definitely not something I want to get. But this is one of them. I watched this match right here. That was probably the most interesting of all of them. Because those are clouds. They're like in a cloud city. Mm. So they went with flying units.
Oh, my God. They got like a little bit of fog coming out under the cotton there.
Yeah. But look, like all those guys in the top right corner, see all those green guys?
Mm-hmm.
They never moved the entire match. They just shot from wherever they were. And the other guy tried to get in on them.
Hmm.
The guys are cool. I mean, everything about it was cool. But the game just doesn't seem very appealing to me. I'd rather play a video game that does it all for you.
Yeah. Yeah. At a certain point, you're just like, yeah, there's a better way to do this.
Yeah.
There is something to the tactile feel of playing with toys like that, but I don't know.
They look fucking super cool.
Yeah. I don't know if that, maybe that's something you just grow out of at a certain age.
Not these guys.
Yeah, not these guys. I used to love playing with Z-Bots. Do you remember those? They're like an offshoot of Micro Machines. No. Z-Bots, man. Those were, yeah, there they are. Little tiny action figures.
Yeah. Were they kind of rubbery? And you could take off their arms and put on another one?
No, you couldn't take off their arms, but they were kind of rubbery. Oh, this is such a 90s commercial.
You've never seen Z-Bots like this with awesome new weapons.
All right.
All right, dude. Oh, I had that guy. Had the guy with the drills. Yeah, I had a lot of these, dude. I had a bunch of stuff.
Kind of remember these.
Yeah. They were like an offshoot of Micro Machines. You can buy them on eBay. All right, man. Let's get to the listener questions.
Parking lot movie, no?
I'll mention that when it comes to next week because I didn't watch that. First question. This is not actually from the listener questions, but I wanted to mention it because it was asked in the movie section of our Discord, and I answered it in there, but I want to talk about it here. This is from Digi Gill. Robert Digital, I know you like horror movies. What about the movie The Ice Cream Man? So I wanted to talk about it here because I'll say what I said in responding to him, but The Ice Cream Man, love that movie, man. It is one of those cheesy, like, 90s horror movies. 90s were, like, a weird space for horror
in
movies.
In general, I feel like, for everything.
Yeah, it was kind of an odd time. The 90s just didn't have much of an identity of itself, not like previous decades. But this was, like, mid to early 90s, I think, 95, like, right in the middle. Later in the 90s, we started getting all those, like, you know, Scream and... what was that one? Urban Legends, you know.
Really quickly, Bobby, I feel like it's less and less. I feel like 2000s have less identity than the 90s.
Yeah.
And I think it's the internet. Because instead of a theme catching on and burning and it being the theme for that, whatever
everything's
it is.
More niche right now.
Yeah,
it's way more niche. Like you can get into whatever you want, and there's
a group there.
Yeah.
For you.
There's people
with open arms.
Yeah, yeah, dude. It's like in the 50s or 60s, right? We had like three TV channels.
Yeah,
like everybody watched the same thing, went to work, and talked about it. You know.
Yep. So yeah, I think it's going to continue with the lacking themes, I guess.
Yeah, it's really hard to like identify or like sum up a decade in something anymore. Yeah. But yeah, so Ice Cream Man, it's, you know, it's like a cheesy 90s horror movie, but it's got Clint Howard, which is Ron Howard's brother, and he does like a lot of like low budget horror movies. He was in one of the Blood Rain movies, the third one with the Nazis. Oof. Yeah. But what I love about this movie, it's got a quick cameo from Steve Garvey, who was the first baseman for the Padres a long time ago. They retired his number here. If you go to Padres Stadium, they've got like five numbers, I think, that they've retired. And they used to have them over center field. I think they moved them, though. But people would always go there and they'd ask, oh, what are those numbers out there? And like, oh, those are the retired numbers. And I used to know all of them. There's like Dave Winfield, Tony Gwynn. I'd have to see the numbers to remember them. Steve Garvey and two more. But he's in there just like in a very brief moment. And if you can, it might be on YouTube. It might be somewhere out there. There is a copy of this movie when they showed it on Monster Vision with Joe Bob Briggs doing, he does the interstitials, you know, like where they show a bit of the movie and then they cut back to him and he talks a little bit about it. And then sometimes he has like a guest on.
Is that a real word? Interstitials?
Interstitials.
I've
yeah.
I've never heard of that word.
Really?
That's the first time I've ever heard
of like
that.
It's like a media term. Yeah. It's okay. Like when
you cut away, somebody explain something and go back.
Yeah, kind of. Like you know, like I watched this Halloween special that was hosted by like Vincent Price from the 80s one time, or like one with Elvira in it. And like they play like some scary thing, then they cut back to Vincent Price. He's like, ooh, that was spooky. Well, let's go to another one. Okay. You know, it's like something like that. Yeah. You know, it's like when you host something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you can find the Joe Bob Briggs Monster Vision one with the Clint Howard interview, it's great, man. It's a fun movie. It's an ice cream guy who's an ice cream man who also kills people and puts them in his ice cream. Pretty much the whole movie there.
Spoilers, dude. What the fuck?
Well, you know that from the get-go.
Oh, gotcha.
All right, next question coming from Old Man Dave. There's been a ton of TV shows and movies adapted to games, and we're starting to see decent conversions. Hold on. This is being blocked up.
Pretty sure it's conversions.
Decent conversions of games to movies or shows. What game or franchise would you love to see adapted? And would you rather it be a movie or a TV series? I should just read them from the screen.
I think
there.
Like a. I think Mass Effect could be a really great TV show. I wouldn't do a movie. It's too much.
Yeah, well, you'd have to split it up maybe because there's a lot going on there, but maybe you could...
That's what it showed.
Because basically the whole thing with Mass Effect is you've got these Reapers coming in and they're going to destroy the universe, not just the world, like the universe is at stake.
Did you know, when did you find out about the Reapers? Not in the first one.
There was the threat of the Reapers in the first one. Right. I don't think you actually meet them or see them face to face until the second one. I think in the first one, it's been a while since I've played these games, but I want to say in the first one, like, not everyone is even convinced that the Reapers are coming in as a threat. So I don't know. But I know like the second COVID. One, you definitely, I know the second one, you actually are face to face with the Reaper there. And then the third one, of course, is like, you know,
all the Reapers.
Humanity's last stand, not even humanity, but the universe. Yeah. But that's the whole plot to, you know, the three part video game series is that the Reapers come in and it turns out like all they do, they come in like every couple thousand of years or something like that. And they just wipe out all of existence and just basically
use it for sustenance.
Yeah. Let everything grow back up again. What do they call that with crops? When you harvest, they harvest. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. They reap too, I guess. Yeah.
Reapers.
And then they sow life and then, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you could do something interesting there.
No, for sure. I think it would be a great show. As far as a movie, that would be like something that was really... Five Nights at Freddy's, dude.
Weren't they supposed to do something with that?
I don't give it... it's not fast enough. That'd be fucking animatronic. Like, supposed to be cute, but fucking parts are falling off. You're making it look super evil.
I don't know, because the movie would just have nothing but jump scares, right? Because that's what the video game had.
Sure, dude.
It's hard to make scary animatronics, dude. Like the Chucky movies, have you watched those as an adult? They're not scary.
Well, you do it with CGI now.
Yeah. And that last Chucky movie, I thought that wasn't too bad. It's all right. They tried to like modernize it with, you know, like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and stuff like that. Yeah. Here's my idea. This is my pitch for a video game TV series, Mega Man. Every episode is one of the bosses, you know, Woodman, whatever. Final season finale, Dr. Wily.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know what you do for season two, but yeah, there you go.
No season two. It's a perfect thing. It's kind of like a Watchmen.
It's a one and you're done.
Oh, speaking of Watchmen, another recommendation. Well, I mean, can you make a recommendation on one episode? But Lovecraft County.
Heard of that.
Solid, man. Solid. Very good beginning. I am intrigued. Anything else? Oh, here we go. Four people. That's a lot of people. But you can have dinner with up to four people alive or dead.
We should read the question first. So,
that's what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
I just read it verbatim.
Well, you didn't say who it was from.
Okay. MP Love asks, you can have dinner with up to four people live or dead. Who do you pick and where do you eat? Well, it's definitely Olive Garden, right?
Oh, the OG. Olive Garden. Get a fucking pasta with like 2,600 calories.
This is a tough one, dude, because I feel like if you have food that's conversational worthy, it's going to take away from what we're here for. Mm-hmm. Which is the greatest conversation of all time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? I think I'm going with the fucking mundane food, dude.
Yeah, but then if you have like Genghis porridge. Khan and you have like even what would be considered mundane food today, he'd probably freak out and then murder half of Asia.
Right. Again.
I don't know, man. Four people alive or dead.
I'm going to take him to Panera.
Panera Bread?
Yeah, I think it's like acceptable food, right? Panera. I'm going to go with Jesus, if he existed.
All right. I'm just going to pass that exit. We'll just keep going.
Jesus, if he existed. I'm guessing that we have some sort of like Star Trek, everybody speaks the same language thing. Oh, Da Vinci would be a great one. Musk, Elon Musk, just to like see what his take on them. I'm not going to talk here. We're talking about giants. Mm-hmm. I'm an ant in these people. So, and then maybe like, Tesla. Oh yeah, for sure. Nikola Tesla.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, what's crazy is this kind of feels like the plot to the first Bill and Ted movie. They go back in the past. Have you even seen it?
I loosely remember.
Yeah. I mean, even if you haven't seen it, you kind of know it, but they have to pass a book or a history report.
Of course they do.
Or if they don't, then they're going to be broken up and Keanu Reeves is going to get sent to military school and they aren't going to be able to form the greatest band ever made and unite the world. So in order to pass their history test, Rufus, Carl, or what's that guy? Famous comedian from the 70s. Eight words you can't say on TV or something. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah. George Carlin.
George Carlin comes back in time from the future, and he gives them a telephone box that can take them back in history so they can collect historical figures, which will help them pass their history test. So the end of the movie is just them doing their history report, like in front of the whole school on a stage with all these famous people. So I kind of feel like that's what's going on here. Instead of passing a history test, we're just having dinner.
Speaking about people out of time, out of place, can... Sniper, can you do a search for Stallone at home?
Stallone at home? Where's this go?
No, sorry. Yeah.
Home Stallone?
Home Stallone. There
deep
we go.
Fake.
So it's a deep fake. Turn up the volume on this
just
one.
Just going to ignore the fact you spelled Stallone wrong, too.
Maybe they don't.
Oh, purpose. Man.
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. I don't like that.
No, dude. This is where we're going, Bobby. This is the future, dude. They're going to be able to rewrite this. Listen to the family. We got 3 minutes. Let's
move. Hello.
We're watching Home Alone with Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone's face on it.
On everybody. While the dad and...
Mom.
What's his name?
Dad.
Kevin?
Kevin McAllister.
Yeah.
Where are you guys?
Oh, now, attention, please. Now, Stallone's never said this, any of this, these lines. They're able to do this from all the recordings of all his speaking ever.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's super weird, dude.
Just that face there. That is killing me.
Yeah. It's unnerving. Yeah. So what are you doing? I don't even know if we should go with what are you playing next week, dude. I think we should go with what are you doing next week.
Yeah, what are you doing next week? Well, I'm going to watch this documentary that was recommended to me called The Parking Lot Movie. Terrible name for a way. That doesn't really draw me in. Someone's like, hey, watch The Parking Lot Movie.
It's the most boring thing ever.
I'm like, that sounds absolutely terrible. Like a documentary about a parking lot. But then I read the description on Wikipedia and... It's very vague. It's like a really hard movie to explain, but I get it. Like, I can see why this is going to be good. And it's not very long, and it's free on Tubi. So I'm going to check that out this week. I'm going to continue with the Halloween franchise, starting with 4. And then I'm going to play...
Phantasmophobia.
Maybe. You just gave me 3 months of...
oh, that's true.
My, Xbox Game Pass.
Which I got for free, dude. Literally never on Discord do I read the top bar, that advertisement. It's a very thin bar. But when you're on Discord, when you load it up, there's a very thin... like.
Oh, yeah, the little notification thing up there.
I never read it. I don't think I've ever read it. And this time it was like, oh, it's like, thank you for being Nitro. This month, we're giving away 3 months of...
3 months.
Yeah, 3 months of... Well, it used to be $1, remember?
Yeah.
Just because they want your credit.
But, I mean, someone has given me, 2 years ago, someone gave me a month free. And I saw a lot of those, like a month free of Xbox Game Pass being handed out for, like, promotional purposes. But 3 months, I haven't seen that before.
Yeah. So
it'll take me right into the new year.
Yeah, I'm happy that, like, it wasn't linked to my Discord somehow, you know? I was able to just give you the code and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, I want to try some Phantasmophobia or whatever it is. Oh, geez.
Dr. Phil deepfake.
Oh, my God, dude.
It's all Although, you know.
It's making some really good porn. Have you seen any of the porn?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so, dude. They put
Dr. Phil's face on porn actors?
They put famous people's faces on porn actors.
I don't know if that'd do anything for me.
If it works? Like, if you're convinced?
No, even if it's convinced.
You have a crush on an actress?
Not really.
Not one?
No, not really. Like, who? Wow. Who's? I imagine it's like Scarlett Johansson or something, or like
probably,
like yeah, probably like famous. Who are some famous female actresses out of like Margot
this
Robbie?
Is so disturbing. Yeah, Margot Robbie's one of them. I wouldn't know, of course. I am going to swallow the bitter pill that I'm not going to beat Spelunky to. What I am going to do is try to play. Because it's not only is the couch co-op, but also it's on remote play. So I'm just going to drag people into the death, the saws of death that Spelunky 2 is.
Is it on Switch?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
It'd be a great Switch game.
Yeah.
Besides that, The Boys Season 2 and probably more Lovecraft County.
It might be country.
Is it?
I think it is.
Country. I have a really hard time distinguishing those two.
Well, I've always read it, so it's entirely possible that I just like.
I've never heard it either.
Yeah, I've never like spoken it. Lovecraft, yeah, we're getting some clarification on this. No, you got to type in country or county. We got to see the show here. Country. It is country.
It is country. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Which is interesting because they keep referencing an area of the United States so that's why I thought it was county. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Speaking for Bobby and myself, Lovecraftian titties. They're all like wiggly and jiggly, dude. Technical like.
Beep, beep. I wasn't sure if that button was going to work because we're using Streamlabs now. But it did. Thank you to M. Pilaf for the subscription gift. Recycled also. Thank you very much for that subscription. I think we had one earlier in the chat, but I forgot.
I thought you were going to do that when I was out taking a shit.